Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've seen people almost go to the bathroom in their pants in his presence.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
I'm driving your car, but I just got a notification that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died! Could this year get any worse? Ruth, you just had to make it to 2021!
All right, that's like real. That's a real reaction on Friday night when the news came out. That totally sane Democrat reacting to the news that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had died. By the way, that was like the more mild version. There were several, not from that woman, but others, where there were women out there. This is a true story. You can find them. They were literally telling the recently deceased Ruth Bader Ginsburg to F off because she died in 2020. That was part of the point. Why could she not have hung on until 2021 or retired earlier? They're angry with her right now. Yeah, that might have to go in the open cut there, Dave. That's a little harsh, though. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. What a beautiful weekend we enjoyed. The nice weather continues as we wrap up summer. And I was ready. Dave Klein, let me ask you this question. I was not here on Friday. I don't think I was here on Friday. Was I here on Friday, Dave? Was I off because of baseball?
You were off because of a doubleheader, right? That's correct, yes. Yeah.
So coming off the loss on Thursday with the Cardinals, right? The Cardinals, sometimes my brain scrambles things. So de-scramble if I get something wrong. But the Cardinals lost to the Pirates, and they were not having a great week, right? And then the first game of the doubleheader, I thought they were going to lose that. And lo and behold, they sweep through the rest of the week. And now it's the Pirates. I get that. But were you not ready on Friday to say, we ain't going to the postseason this year?
I was about ready to throw in the towel, yeah, and then some miraculous things happened over the weekend, especially Saturday night. Wow, what a game that was.
It was crazy, and I think that there's a lot of things. You know, I felt pretty stupid because about a month ago I was really high on the Cardinals. I knew that there were challenges, but coming out of the COVID break, I thought this is going to time out in the way that at the end of September this team's going to be pretty good. I no longer feel that way. However, you know, you got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And now they have the Royals, and we're going to see what happens. So we're not done yet, and something tells we have a couple extra baseball games we might need to play here to tack on to the regular season. All right, so we're off and running here. Obviously, the big story is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm going to even take some phone calls on this a little bit later this afternoon. We have Scott Jennings coming up. Scott Jennings, of course, worked with the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, in Kentucky. Scott is in Louisville, so we'll get his thoughts. I've been asked this question all weekend. What does it mean? What does it mean? This is one of the questions I'm going to pose to you, ladies and gentlemen, after 2:30. I've been thinking through this a lot in the last few days. I could probably make a very strong case for this helping Democrats quite a bit. I can make a strong case for this helping Republicans. Now, what's going to happen here between now and the election will certainly be interesting, especially when it comes to the hypocrisy meter, because now you have both sides digging in, the Republicans saying things several years ago that now they act like they never said or they want to explain differently, and then the Democrats acting like they never said things differently 3-4 years ago when it came to Merrick Garland. So look, there's always going to be hypocrisy in politics. The bottom line is the elections do have consequences, and the winning team gets to play by their rules, at least for now. But if you skirt the rules and you do things that don't make people happy, what's the reaction of the electorate going to be? I mean, is this going to motivate Democrats, for example, who would not ordinarily support Joe Biden because they were Bernie Sanders fans, or they were Amy Klobuchar? I don't know. Were there any? But you know what I mean. Is this going to motivate those folks because they say, look, I don't like this direction? You know, my side would say the same thing. We don't like the direction the country's heading in with perhaps having Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and, you know, anarchy and all these other things. Well, I think a lot of people on the other side would say, we don't like the direction of the court. Is this the type of country that we want to live in with conservative court members? So will they then be motivated? I honestly don't know the answer to that. Could be a bit of a mix. Really, the only reason that question matters is in states like Florida in states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, because I think that the rest of this is pretty locked in to a certain extent. If it's not locked in, it's probably going to go in the other direction. For example, I would assume that Trump's going to win Texas. But, you know, there's been some polling that shows that things are a little bit closer than they should be. So if things end up being surprising in some of these states, I would expect that to be the surprise. Not that, you know, Trump wins Texas, but that he loses Texas. And that's when the wheels kind of come off. Again, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm saying, what is the end result of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death going to be when it comes to this presidential election? You know, there's still a lot of time between now and Election Day. There is a debate in what, a week, that's going to have, I think, big consequences, especially if Joe Biden doesn't perform well. I mean, if Trump overperforms, that's always going to be a win for him. If he does something that's going to hurt him, maybe that plays into it. But people are going to be watching that first debate just to see if Joe Biden is comatose or not. So now you're going to hear the explanations from Senator Blunt and Senator Hawley. They're not going to join us this afternoon. We do have some audio. Scott Jennings coming up. What's changed between 2016 and now? There are a few things that have changed, and there are different dynamics between that vote that could have taken place in 2016 versus the vote that might take place now to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So we'll cover that this afternoon. We'll take some phone calls as well. A couple more things that I want to mention. Oh, by the way, the other thing that I think is important to cover here when it comes to RBG, I like her quite a bit. And I have a lot of respect for her story, how she got to the Supreme Court, her aura, if you will, and the fact that her closest friend, I think this speaks volumes, I really do, and I have many, many friends, many close friends that are on the complete opposite side of the spectrum politically than me, but her closest friend on the court was Antonin Scalia. I retweeted a friend of mine from Milwaukee, Doug Russell, over the weekend. He said, you know what, a gentle reminder that they were very close, and you don't have to agree on everything, or really maybe even on anything, to get along. We've lost that in America in recent years. And that was one thing I always loved about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She wasn't afraid to talk about her affinity for Justice Scalia and vice versa. They were really, really good friends. They genuinely loved each other deeply as friends. Could use a lot more of that. It's 212 at KMOX. Scott Jennings coming up next.
Could this year get any worse?
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
You know, we're going to open up the phone lines just after 2:30 on the Ruth Bader Ginsburg death and also the future of the courts. I want to take some phone calls, see where everyone is on this afternoon. That's coming up before the end of the hour. CNN political commentator and our very own Inside the Beltway expert, Scott Jennings, is with me this afternoon. Former special assistant for President Bush and Senator McConnell. He's down in Louisville. We're going to talk a little bit about the political implications of this. Scott Jennings on the Quiver River Electric guest line. How are you, Jennings?
I'm great, man. It's a lot to talk about these days.
Well, I know how much my phone lit up the other night when the news broke. I can't imagine what happened to your phone or where you were, but obviously this is, you know, we've kind of joked all along through this pandemic how quickly things change, and this was another, you know, big change the other night that's going to affect this election.
Yeah, no doubt. As if this year couldn't get any crazier. It's interesting. The last two federal election cycles have featured massive Supreme Court battles. I think the 2016 vacancy delivered the presidency to Trump. That's my personal view. And then the 2018 fight over Kavanaugh happened right before the election, and it cost four Senate Democrats their seats and delivered the majority again to Senate Republicans. So, you know, the question is, how will this one affect the outcome of this election? The recent history is it's been helpful more to Republicans than Democrats.
Wasn't the message, now this goes both ways, okay, but let's kind of work through it here this afternoon. Wasn't the message from Republicans from 2016, hey, we need to follow the Biden rule when it comes to Supreme Court nominees? Don't do this in a presidential election year. I know that that's probably simplifying the Biden rule, and I'm sure you're going to correct me on that, but that's the criticism right now. Oh, it's hypocritical Republicans. Now, you could say that about the Democrats because they wanted those nominees confirmed in a presidential election year. But doesn't the hypocrisy kind of cut both ways here, Scott?
Well, I think for all the media people out there who are screaming about hypocrisy, they conveniently leave out that, to your point, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, everybody was out there clamoring for an election year confirmation. So, you know, the shoe is now on the other foot, but for both people. And so all the shoes are moved now. So that's, you know, if you want to worry about hypocrisy, you've got to worry about it on both sides. I also think the media leaves out a critical component of McConnell's argument from 2016, which was that the parties were not unified. One party controlled the White House, the other controlled the Senate. We had a split control of the institutions at play here. In this particular case, and by the way, you had to go all the way back to the 1880s to find a split control situation where you had a confirmation in a presidential year. In this case, you have unified control. The same party controls both institutions. And it's fairly common, actually, for when that is the scenario for confirmations to occur. I thought Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee had it best. He said it best this weekend. He said, for people to think that a Republican Senate would not confirm a Republican president's nominee to the Supreme Court, or at least consider it, it's just crazy. And so if your position on politics is because Mitch McConnell was once mean to Barack Obama, he should now be mean to Donald Trump. I mean, grow up. That's not how it works.
You know, one of the things, there's a lot of stuff here that's, I think, going to be very, very interesting moving forward. So let's talk a little bit about the math here, and can this actually happen? All right, so the president's going to name someone probably later this week after Ruth Bader Ginsburg is memorialized and she lies in repose and all of this that is very warranted this week. So the president then says he's going to, you know, I guess nominate a woman. I don't know if you have a favorite in that group. And then can he get this done before the election?
Well, it could be done, sure. It would be, I think, hard to do it before the election, although one thing that makes it a little easier is that the likely person to get this is already sitting on a circuit court of appeals and was recently confirmed, which means all the vetting, all the research, all of the stuff that went into their previous confirmation could be forwarded into this one. So that speeds it up a little bit, unlike if you were just choosing someone, you know, off the street, you would have a lot more deeper dive research that would have to occur. I think right now on timing, I'm not certain when it will happen. There's certainly plenty of time between now and the end of the year, but there's less time, obviously, between now and the election, and I think that's TBD. I just don't know yet.
So when we hear, we're hearing a lot about the Democrats packing the court, right? So when we hear an argument that the Democrats are going to pack the court, what does that mean?
Well, the Democrats' response to Trump now possibly getting three justices on the Supreme Court is to say, well, that's fine. We'll just pass a law and add four seats to the Supreme Court, and then we'll let Joe Biden nominate and confirm four people, and that'll trump what Donald Trump just did. And so that's court packing. This was tried by FDR back during the New Deal, and none other than Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself has been highly critical of this idea. But this is the liberal outcry today. They want to pack the court. They want to add four senators to the Senate by making Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. states. This is their reaction to this, to a very normal constitutional situation. And I think this is going to work against them. They sound radical, frankly, instead of reasonable and in control of their emotions.
I thought I saw a little math. You're always going to have math when it comes to this. And, you know, you look at, I guess, a few of the moderates, Susan Collins. I don't know where Mitt Romney is, but this could possibly come down to a tie vote. I mean, that's always certainly a possibility. Let's just kind of talk about the motivation at the ballot box, Jennings. So because this is the question I've been asked all weekend, and I don't have a good answer for it. Does the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and what is about to happen here help Democrats or Republicans more? I hate to just cull it down to that, but that's an important question because we are in a presidential election. Will this motivate Democrats because they're going to be in utter horror thinking that, you know, Donald Trump's going to have this nominee and then maybe more? Clarence Thomas has been rumored to retire from the court. We'll see where that heads. So is it going to help Democrats because it motivates them, or will it once again motivate Republicans like it did 4 years ago?
Well, it's hard for me to imagine that Democrats could be any more motivated than they already are. I mean, they hate Donald Trump, and you can see in the early voting statistics already in these states that Democrats are chomping at the bit to vote against Donald Trump. So it's hard to imagine being able to jazz up that electorate anymore. I think Republicans are also already excited for the election. If there is a weak spot for Donald Trump, I suppose it's always been around the fringe of the evangelical Christian conservative crowd and just as a subset of those people that, you know, care about pro-life policy, for instance, but they also have deep reservations about Donald Trump, the man. Now, some pollsters will tell you that this isn't real, that there never has been any degradation among the evangelicals for Trump. But you do hear anecdotally from time to time people wonder about Donald Trump the man versus Donald Trump the policymaker. So if you needed to shore up that subset of a subset, this crystallizes it for you. Why is your vote important? Because obviously the next court could decide Roe versus Wade or any other host of issues that you care about. So I think both sides are pretty jazzed. The recent electoral history suggests it helps Republicans more. But at the same time, Ginsburg was such an icon for liberals that you can see how she might play the same role for liberal Democrats as Scalia played for conservative Republicans. So I think there's a lot of energy out there already. But outside of aliens landing, I don't know what else could happen this year to to get people even more excited about an election.
Well, on the flip side of that, I would say, and this is where a lot of things turned for me in 2018, and that was the treatment of Brett Kavanaugh when he was nominated and the craziness that went along with that. And that was one of the issues that Lindsey Graham has cited, where he's sort of flipped around here on what he was saying in 2016 with the election year nomination of a Supreme Court justice. But the Kavanaugh thing looms large in this sense, because I do think there's going to be, you know, it's going to be pretty aggressive here when it comes to the Democrats fighting this in the next month or so. And that could backfire on them when it comes to the tone. Do you think that's a possibility, too?
Yeah, the Kavanaugh thing looms large because for a lot of Republicans, as you pointed out, the behavior of the Democrats during that really takes all credibility off the table. Democrats and Joe Biden are out claiming, you know, we need to be fair and we need to have civility and we need to respect norms. Well, there was nothing normal or fair or moral or anything else about the way they tried to destroy Brett Kavanaugh's life. And so I just think Democrats, I think in the Gorsuch case, they blew up the filibuster. They filibustered him. That triggered the nuclear option. In the Kavanaugh case, they showed just how far they're willing to go to restrict Donald Trump's power. So all the things they're arguing now, they sort of took off the table, in my opinion, in the previous two fights. And I just don't think Republicans are going to listen to these crocodile tears. If the Democrats were in charge right now and there were a Democratic president, they'd be doing the same thing.
Scott Jennings, you know, if I was going to do this interview last Friday afternoon, I would have been in the Cardinals are not going to make the playoffs mode. This team is terrible. I still think some of that might be true. But, you know, lo and behold, they got the work done against the Pirates, which they needed to, and the Pirates are terrible, and they're keeping hopes alive. Scott Jennings, are you with us here on the bandwagon for postseason playoffs for the St. Louis Cardinals? Actually, there might be some postseason regular season games too at this point.
Yeah, I know it's so close. You got a few teams there that are all hovering around 500. I mean, look, I think this team's basically a 500 team, and that's how they're likely to wind up. And there's a decent chance that that causes them to make the playoffs, and so. I hope they do. I hope they get to play, but I've not been very optimistic about the offense lately. I'm very proud of Adam Wainwright, very proud of Yadier Molina and some of the individual performances. But the offense of this team has to be addressed before next year. It's just hard to go through weeks where you're just scoring basically no runs, one run, two runs. Even though we took four or five from the Pirates, I get it. But boy, scoring runs is really difficult against a bad team.
Yeah, and well, now you got the Royals. So, if you can just take care of business and maybe get rested up just a little bit and don't let the bullpen get too dinged up, maybe we will have some semblance of postseason baseball, which won't be embarrassing. We'll find out. Hey, you know, I don't know if you saw my tweet on this. We haven't chatted. I did hit that trifecta in the Kentucky Derby, Mr. Jennings, with that third-place horse being perfect. You know, the Mr. Big News, how could I not include Mr. Big News in my trifecta key with Authentic Tis the Law and Mr. Big News? And that was a nice trifecta because I saw you tweeting on Derby Day about Mr. Big News.
Yeah, well, first of all, great name. I'd seen a few people sort of popping him out there, and he ran a great race. And man alive, if you bet enough, just let us know when your retirement is. I want to make sure to come to your retirement party because that's a pretty nice trifecta you hit there, brother.
Wasn't as good as what the stewards stole from me last year with the disqualification, but it was fun. Scott Jennings, always great. The election season just got more interesting. We'll chat soon. See you, Scott.
Thanks, Mark.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
All right, let's go to the phone calls here on the effect that the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg might have on this election. By the way, Dan Crenshaw, of course, congressman, he's the congressman that wears the eye patch, former Navy SEAL, lieutenant commander, retired, and he tweeted out, I retweeted this a short time ago, he's at some sort of, says Trib Fest, I'm not even sure what that is. When I talk to people in suburban Houston, they're definitely center-right voters, but they don't want to vote for Donald Trump. Why? They have a personal dislike for him. It's just that simple. And I basically said, yeah, I think some of this is simple, that you just have people, and it's accumulated over the years, where the suburban voters who maybe pulled the trigger for him the last time say, no, we can't stand him. It's because this is what somebody chimed in on Twitter. I said, yeah, it's not that complicated sometimes. And Mike, who I think lives in Madison, Wisconsin, the People's Republic of Wisconsin, despite being a Reagan conservative, so identified on Twitter, says, no, it's not that simple. It's not dislike, it's genuine hatred for me. He doesn't represent my values from the initial, and some of them are good people, press conferences, it's only gotten worse. Voting D for the president for the first time, and hopefully the last in my life. The whole thing, the good people thing, I'm not going to, do I need to revisit that again? I still can't believe people are still confused about that. But let's take some phone calls here, because what might have happened on, what would that have been the other day, September 18th? The death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Who knows what's going to happen on October 18th or even October 30th? There's still a lot of time before this election, but will this weigh on voters' minds? Let's go to the phones here this afternoon, and we'll start with Brant. Welcome to the show. You're on KMOX.
Yes, I think that what's going to happen between Murkowski and Collins, I predict that they will fight this to the end to try to not put this before the Senate. But when it comes right down to it, they will vote. And I think they will vote for confirmation because they want to be seen as thoughtful and kind of a fence sitter, independent.
So do you think, you know, I don't know if you're handicapping this as closely as I am or others, but do you have a pick? See, I think what he should do, and I know a lot of people like Amy Comey Barrett, but the who's the choice from Florida who was on the Supreme Court there? Because she's Cuban, Barbara Lagoa, Hispanic, Catholic, serves on the Federal Court of Appeals. Put a woman of color as a nominee before the election. See how that turns out.
I don't think he should play that game. I like Barrett because I'm very pro-life. I don't think she will waver from the pro-life position. I want to see the left go into a tizzy and show their even truer colors before the election. I think this is going to turn so many people off. They're going to be so embarrassed to say that they're Democrats.
Well, that might be. But, I mean, that's why I wonder if the result would be neutralized a bit if it was Stephanie Davis, who's from Michigan, or Barbara Lagoa from, you know, from Florida. But we'll see. The pick is going to be in, as they say at the NFL draft, probably at the end of the week. Let's go to Chris, or is he known better these days as Pumpkin Boy? Pumpkin Boy, is that you?
It's me. What's going on, Mark?
Chris was, I always like to set a little, Chris was, Chris in the country, but we're going to call him Pumpkin Boy. He 4 years ago, you know, it was like this month when you called me and he laid the gauntlet down. He goes, Reardon, you're wrong. Trump's going to win the election. And I said, I will cut my hair. I will buzz my hair, right? Shave my head live on the air. And you accepted the deal and then you let me off the hook. So we've become friends, and you were nice enough to deliver some pumpkins to me over the weekend. So I appreciate that, Pumpkin Boy. But that's another story. Your position on RBG and how it affects the election.
I think if Trump nominates the two said women you just said, the lady from with a Cuban immigrant, I believe, I think he needs to go with her. Because, and the other lady, I forgot, the one that's 38, and then her, they've both recently been vetted. So how in the heck can the Democrats argue? Are they going to try to pull some dirt out of their high school yearbook? Either way, whatever,
yes,
they try,
they
to
will.
You know what? It's going to backfire on them again. And I will do another head shape bet with you. Trump will win re-election. As far as the suburban people, I disagree with you. When I was driving down O'Fallon all weekend long, even in suburban Springfield, Illinois, I've never seen more Trump signs than the first time in 2016, Mark. There's a lot of closet Trumpers out there. They're scared.
Well, that might be, but you know as well as I do that's if you see those in Springfield, Illinois, that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter to the whole landscape of the election. I want to see, well, it doesn't, because Illinois is not going to vote for Trump. It's the same Same reason if you see a, you know, a flurry of Biden sign activity here, it really is irrelevant. It's a moot point, as they say in the legal world. I'm not saying that there's not a lot of support there. I'm saying that that support has eroded from 2016. And can those people be brought back? I think there's still that possibility, because I think every week that ticks away, and we still have this debate coming up, we don't know the, you know, we know what we're going to get with Trump, right? I think everyone knows what we're going to get. He's going to say some stupid things. He's going to say some embarrassing things. He's also going to win a couple of points. But with Biden, if he comes off as just genuinely confused, which he very well might, that's going to be a bigger issue. And I'm not sure how the Democrats are going to. I don't want to make fun of it, because I think there is something there with the cognitive ability that is, you know, concerning when it comes to Uncle Joe. So we'll see what happens. But thanks for the call this afternoon. 436-7900. Dave, you're on KMOX.
Yeah, Mark, I'm with your first caller. I think Amy Barrett is the clear choice. She's already been through the process as well. And can you imagine the blowback when she's ripped into by the Democrats in the Senate and fellow Catholic Joe Biden rips into her? The suburban women vote that's a little low right now, I guarantee you many suburban women are going to see that and say, no, I'm not voting for Democrats, because they're going to see one of their own ravaged and savaged by the Democrats, and they are not going to like it.
This is a narrative that I do not reject, because there's a piece by Doug Mandow in the, and I don't know him, in the American Spectator, that basically makes a similar case, saying that it could help reelect Trump because of what happened a couple of years ago with Kavanaugh. And that was something that put even a lot of folks like me, who have been critical of Trump, on their heels. I didn't like the way that it went down. And there is risk there going down that rabbit hole again with one of these nominees. So I think that's going to be real interesting to watch. Do you have anything to say, though? I don't think people are going to really be bothered. The left isn't going to care if it's hypocritical. The right's not going to care if it's hypocritical, because what they're going to try to pin a lot of Republicans on right now, including Blunt and others, is that, look, you said you made the case for the Biden rule when Obama was in his last year as president, when he nominated Merrick Garland. You said, no, you're not going to take that on. Is that a problem for Republicans or not?
I don't believe it is, because anybody that does a thoughtful analysis and looks back into the past when all of these various decisions and statements have been made, as your friend from the media that you talked to earlier said, there's enough hypocrisy to go around for everybody. And anybody that examines this at all knows that the Democrats would do the exact same thing. This is the play to not only gain on the Supreme Court, but win the election. It's a no-brainer.
Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt that they would do the same thing. You're absolutely right about that. 244, thanks for the call. Thanks for jumping in here this afternoon. Hang on if you're there. 436-7900. More calls. We're coming back with more after this on KMOX.
St. Louis's weather station, KMOX.
Hey, what a great U.S. Open, although I don't like Bryson DeChambeau very much. We're talking about Dan Reardon and preview what Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and a couple others are going to do down in Branson at this brand new course, which looks amazing, and I'm very jealous and wish I could be there tomorrow. That's coming up after the top of the hour. Carol has the news. Let's go back to the phone calls on RBG and her passing and the effect that it might have on the election. Chris, you're next on KMOX. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just have two comments, and one is the pro-life person. I'm very much pro-life, but as an archbishop said, it's a lot more than just being anti-abortion. It's for helping feed the poor, give the poor health care, housing. To help, pro-life means you're for life, not for death and not sickness. And, of course, with Trump with over 200 coronavirus, this definitely isn't pro-life. He might not end himself. And the second is, I wasn't against Garland not being nominated, but how can the Republicans change their voice, though? Lindsey Graham, total reversal just makes me, I know they lie, but he absolutely totally lied. And I was asking how they can put up another person if they didn't vote to have Garland elected.
Couldn't you easily flip that question around and say, wait a second, Chuck Schumer and Claire McCaskill and everyone that complained 4 years ago, shouldn't you support this? Because they told me at the time, look, my personal answer to this question is, I think there's a lot of hypocrisy, okay? So I won't wade into the hypocrisy other than sort of explaining it and, you know, pointing it out. But I'll also say that there's plenty of hypocrisy. It works both ways. You can't sit there 4 years ago and say, we demand this. This is what the Constitution provides. And now fight it because Trump's in the White House. It doesn't work that way. The Republicans can get away with it just because they have the power. Is it hypocritical? Yeah, it is. I mean, you can kind of get around it and say there's this and there's that. Here's what Josh Hawley says, by the way. We might have Senator Hawley on the show tomorrow.
Well, actually, Harry Reid set the precedent when he abolished the filibuster for Supreme Court justices years ago when the Democrats had the majority. So they're the ones who set the precedent here. They lost the election in 2018. They lost seats in the Senate. They lost the election in 2016. They lost the White House. So listen, if they win back those things, then they'll be able to confirm and nominate their own justices in the future. But to say because they lost elections that now that they will break all of our constitutional norms and standards, they'll pack courts, they'll conduct impeachment hearings to stop a president from carrying carrying forward his constitutionally authorized privileges and responsibilities. That's insane. I mean, I hope voters listen carefully. This is the same party that looks the other way while rioters and looters burn down our towns. Now the Democrats are saying they'll burn down the Constitution. These people should not be in power.
So there you go. There's the other side of the equation. Look, they're all full of you know what. That's basically the bottom line. Let's see if I can squeeze another call in here. Let's see. Tom, you're on KMOX.
Thank you so much. A quick comment, but a question first. Do you know who said that the senators...
Whoop. I think we lost him there. Sorry about that. We did not cut him off. Dave, who is next? Maybe Tom? David. David, go ahead. Sorry, I think we lost time.
Yeah, Mark. Hey, I don't think this is going to change a lot of minds. But for the crazy person on your lead-in, when she asked if this year could get any worse, I would say it absolutely could. Trump could and probably will be reelected.
Could this year get any worse?
So you think he's going to win reelection?
I do. Yeah, I do. Maybe a surprise. Remember, we're not electing, you know, and you talk about Trump as a person. We're not electing a saint. We're electing a president. And when you look at the policies that he puts in place, what he's done for what he did for the economy in just 3 years, and they can say what they want to about COVID-19. Heaven help us if Biden had been president. Go back and look at what he was saying in February and March and even into early April. Yeah, I think Trump will win re-election.
Well, I appreciate the call. Thanks for chiming in here this afternoon, man. I'm in that situation where I'm trying to tell myself to not do what I did 4 years ago, where I was, and some of you remember, I was pretty indignant. I was pretty confident. I was pretty cocky. I saw no path. I saw zero path. I mean, less than zero path for Trump to win enough electoral votes. I knew there was support out there. I knew we'd win states like Missouri. There'd be overwhelming wins in a lot of the red states. It was certainly a movement that kind of turned into a bit of a cult, I think, in the long run. But, and I know that a lot of you don't like polls, all right? And I get that some people don't want to tell pollsters everything. I also get that a lot of people are probably hiding their true feelings. And I also think a lot of things could change here in the next 2 months. You know, this is far from over. Or you might ordinarily be able to say decisions are made in late September, leading into October. I think this is one of those years where there's certainly people on both sides. They're never going to waver, never going to change. You got the 25, maybe it's 30% for Trump. You got the 25, 30% hardcore Dems. Although I don't even know that those are the people in the tank for Biden. They're just the hardcore lefties. But here's the polling from today. You can cast it aside if you will. 538 has Biden at 77% favorite. That's Nate Silvers. The Economist has Biden at 86%. New Statesman at 83%. Niskanen Center at 99%. Wow, that's a little generous, I think. At Plural Vote, 71.7%. And at J.K. Hursting, these are all polling sites, I guess, 78.2%. Now, I like to look at the betting odds. Now, the betting odds are a little different because you're pulling people in. You're trying to, you know, get action on both sides, and I understand that, but let's see what the national polling is showing right now. And I bet if we would compare this to where we were 4 years ago, and we can do that between now and tomorrow, I can take a look at it, it's probably very, very similar. because the average, the Real Clear Politics average is still Biden plus 6.5. In the battlegrounds, it's Biden plus, yeah, it's a little less. It's a little bit more narrow. But that's where the election is going to be decided. Dave Klein, we should dig up that bite from earlier this year. I think we kept it from Michael Moore, where he kind of, and this was before COVID, I'm pretty sure, where he said, look, this guy could win by 5 million votes. He won by 3 million last time. He won by 5 million, still win the election. Or we could win by 5 million. In other words, Biden can win by 5 million, and Trump still wins the election because of the Electoral College. Very, very possible. That's why voter turnout is going to become so imperative and paramount in these big states. We'll keep running it down. 257. Hey, Ricky Horton coming up in the next hour to talk Cardinals baseball.